we originally actually have Matt Voras, who is on the line with us this evening, who is actually our original guest.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I appreciate you waiting. So,
no problem at all.
As I said, when you were on hold, I want to go ahead and have us talk about Camilo and what's going on, because he's got a court date coming up. But I want you to, if you could lay down for people who Camilo is and a little bit about the case and where we're at with this.
Absolutely. Camilo is, well, I'll just say off the bat, he's a personal friend of mine, but he is a housing organizer, works with tenants mostly in HUD development in southeastern Massachusetts, which, if this means anything to folks down there, it's the Fall River, New Bedford area.
Do you want to just explain HUD to the listeners?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. HUD is the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's a government agency that runs a lot of the public housing for low-income folks in the country, and has been facing a lot of cutbacks, and so he works organizing those tenants to basically try to preserve their homes. And he's living there in the community that he grew up in. His parents are both immigrants. And he went down to the Republican convention in Philadelphia back in August 2000 to protest the nomination of the fellow who now seems to be our president. Thousands of people were there. And on the 1st of August, there was a specific day that was dedicated to protest against the injustices of our criminal system, against the racism in prisons, against police brutality, and against that entire system that has criminalized millions of people. And on that day, roughly 400 people were arrested, most for simple acts of nonviolent civil disobedience, blocking roads, things like that, trying to make sure that the Republican delegates, who were being, shielded from everything going on in the city, would take notice. What happened in the police response was that people were arrested and often treated rather violently. Offenses which would normally get you maybe a $50 ticket and no bail ended up having people with, multiple charges and $10,000 bail. People were in jail for as much as 2 weeks. An entire warehouse filled with people who were making puppets and other art pieces to use in the protest was surrounded by police. Everyone in there was arrested. All the puppets were destroyed. And in the midst of this, Camilo was one of the hundreds arrested, and he and two other people were charged with assaulting officers and with felony riot charges, for which they are now, 3.5 years later, still facing trial and on charges which could land them in jail for up to 30 years.
And Matt, the police chief that was involved in this, you said, has actually, this is to connect those dots we were talking about with Homeland Security and all these other things, was apparently involved in Miami as well, from what I've heard.
Yes, John Timoney was the police chief in Philadelphia at the time, is currently the police chief of Miami, and also has a pretty lucrative consulting gig. You'll sometimes hear him on the radio or on TV as an expert on security matters. He has consulted to train the police force in cities in Iraq. He's made himself quite a career off of this attitude of being a tough big city cop who knows what it's like to be on the beat and who frankly seems to work through sheer brutality. The same methods that he used in Philadelphia were beefed up even more and used in Miami at the protests against the Free Trade Area of the Americas about a month ago, where you saw hundreds of people arrested, where you saw people being, shot with rubber bullets, with, electric taser guns, things like that. And, again, most of the charges were very minor, things like refusal to disperse, and almost surely won't stick. But nonetheless, you now have people who are fighting charges, who were physically injured, who were arrested, and so on. And, this is someone who, here in Boston, we're pretty concerned because he apparently has a contract to consult for the security at the Democratic National Convention this summer. And what happened in Miami has been lauded as a model for homeland security and for, the pure crushing of any kind of differing opinion. To put, something more of a personal face on this, as I said, he's a guy who's, working in the community where he grew up. He is, quite sincerely one of the most gentle, soft-spoken people you meet. He's about 5'10", which is interesting because Timoney, who has bragged about this case in the media to sell his image, referred to getting attacked by the biggest guy there. So you've got this, maybe 150-pound guy who was supposedly the biggest guy at the protest. And he's someone who just has a lot of experience as an organizer and is known as someone who's very principled and very strategic in what he does. He's not someone who's likely to just do something headstrong on the spur of the moment, to get caught up in the emotion and do something that could end up creating more problems. He really knows how to go through the channels and discipline himself and so on. So the charges that he's facing are just outrageous. He himself was also, and the police have admitted that he had a concussion when he was brought into the jail. So what seems to have happened is that there was some kind of a scuffle. He got beaten up, and they picked the guy lying on the ground and said, all right, he's the one who attacked us. one of the scariest parts of this is that the organizing work that he does, I mean, every day he goes out, he's talking to low-income tenants, often elderly people, about defending their rights, and he's finding that many of them are reluctant to do so. He was trying to, you know, get one guy to speak at a rally not long ago, and he couldn't figure out why this guy was so reluctant to do it, because he speaks a lot. And finally, the guy said, well, I don't want to end up like you. And, you know, this is, he is being held up as the example of what can happen if you, you know, have the nerve to exercise your rights.
Is there any opinion that Camilo might have been targeted by the police because of his work?
It's hard to know. There were hundreds of people there, many of them also organizers. So it's likely, you know, it's hard to know. It may be that he was targeted, but...
Or racially profiled?
Possibly, though Camilo is very light-skinned, so he may have been, you know, so it's hard to know if he was picked out that way, you know, in the spur of the moment. But obviously the charges against him have, you know, have continued to really place an impact on him and on his entire community, because this is what people are trying to fight against.
Definitely. And he's been fighting with this case for going on almost 4 years at this point.
Yep. It was summer of 2000, so...
So what can our listeners do if they want to help support him?
There is a lot. You know, one thing is that flat out money is needed. You know, for somebody from a working class community, 3.5 years of legal fees will really pile up. And, you know, while his friends have all been chipping in, that's very helpful. We also need, you know, though of course the courts are portrayed as neutral, you know, political pressure does help. There are petitions that are going around. We need letters to the judge expressing concern over this case. One of the things that it seems that the prosecution is going to do is to portray Camilo as, you know, a sort of rootless, wandering protester who goes from city to city causing trouble. You know, after the arrests, Police Chief Timoney talked about a traveling cabal of anarchist mischief makers who are disrupting every major city in the U.S. And the more letters that we have from community-based organizations saying, actually, this is someone we care about, this is something that matters to us, this is not just some random miscreant... you know, whatever that means in the first place, the more it discredits the image that they're trying to paint. If people have access to the web, they can go to www.friendsofcamilo.org.
Could you spell that out?
Yes, it's FriendsofCamilo.org. And there's a lot of information there, probably too many news articles. But if you can click on the link that says help out, and that has, you know, a list of 25 things you can do. It has petitions you can download. It has places where you can send letters or donations. And that is very, very helpful to all of us. You know, and not just to Camilo's case. One thing that, you know, he is very principled about is trying to make sure that this organizing is not just about him. You know, after all, arrested protesting the criminal justice system in the first place, and he wants this work to continue to, you know, to shine a light on that system, which he is now dealing with, and he wants to make sure that it's not just to save him, but to make clear that this kind of an attempt to target a community organizer, this kind of attempt to criminalize protest, you know,
or even to create fear in the general public.
Absolutely. Know. And to say that this isn't going to succeed. You know, he is still out there doing the organizing work, you know, but he does need the support from the community.
It's really interesting when we begin to talk about buzzwords and how he's being painted as this awful troublemaker or whatever else. When you consider that people who are organizing have done so much, particularly it sounds like so much of his work is so community-based.
Mm-hmm.
Has that kind of campaign been effective?
When people meet this guy, it often becomes clear that there's some kind of a disconnect in the story. You know, at the same time, we do want to make sure that this isn't just, again, that this isn't just about him, that, you know, even if someone who is personally disagreeable or isn't quite as nice or is more aggressive can't also be targeted, because it, you know, it can't just be about, wow, they picked a bad target this time. It has to be about this kind of targeting itself is wholly unacceptable.
Can you give that website one more time?
Absolutely. It's www.friendsofcamilo.org. www.friendsofcamilo.org.
And for those who don't have internet access, could you give your address?
Absolutely. I can give an address. I can also give a toll-free phone number. That'll just get you a voicemail, but we will call you back. It's 1-877-240-9517. And our address is Friends of Camilo, P.O. Box 23169, Providence, Rhode Island, 02903.
Matt Voras from the Friends of Camilo campaign.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We want to definitely go ahead and make sure that people go out there and support Camilo's case. Make sure that you write a letter or do what you can, and you can get that info on the website. You are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. This is Sexto Sol. That wraps it up for another program, and we will be back next week. Matt, thank you very, very much.
Thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.